It's well-timed as we dive into the U.S. Open Cup competition and a little preview here. We're joined by, I don't even know, there is no title that would befit Trey Fitzgerald. He is a jack of all trades and a master of all of them with Real Salt Lake. I don't know what they are, the CEO, the grand poobah, the head of communication. I don't even know what your title is. The title is so long it doesn't fit on a business card.
Privately, but I prefer Minister of Information.
That would be awesome.
That's much too sinister.
Sinister of Information. Trey Fitzgerald, always great to catch up with you because it usually means there's something good going on with Real. And, you know, tonight, you know, doing the research here, I'm a little stunned. The Open Cup, you know, you're thinking some of this competition, most of it you're kind of quote-unquote stepping down to play some of the lower division teams maybe in the early going. But, you know, Atlanta was a little bit of a lesson, and the Seattle FC 2 tonight, they're going to come in. That's a good club. If your guys aren't ready, and I'm sure Jeff Cassar has been pounding that into them, that, you know, these guys are good.
Yeah, it's a fascinating tournament, Tom. And, you know, this is the 102nd edition of this tournament. So it's United States Sports' oldest tourney, longest running tourney continuously. And, you know, MLS teams have dominated it since the league started 20 years ago. 19 previous Open Cup tournaments that MLS teams have won all but one. I think it was 1999, the Rochester Rhinos upset Colorado. But, you know, there's going to be a ton of upsets today and tomorrow in this round, the fourth round, the round of 32. And you're going to see some of these minor league teams take out the MLS clubs. And it happened to us in Atlanta last year, as you mentioned. You know, we had lost Beckerman and Raimondo and Saverio to the World Cup. And you know, it's just that time of year, the kind of dog days of summer. Ned Grabovoy was hurt. I want to say Chris Winger was hurt last year. So, you know, it's usually in these early rounds, especially, it's going to be a mix of your veteran starters that play 3,000 minutes a year, and it's a big opportunity for young guys to prove that they should be getting a little more of a look in league play. And, you know, Jeff Cassar will announce his lineup tonight around 7, but I would expect to see a mix of different guys. You know, Kyle Beckerman was part of that those U.S. national team wins last week in Holland and in Germany, so you know, I don't know if he'll start or not tonight, but he may be available. Saverio, Plata, Raimondo, you know, it's going to be a nice mix. And RSL's in the midst of 10 games potentially in 40 days.
Wow.
If we win tonight, because if we win the Open Cup game tonight, we would play again on either June 30th or July 1st. So it's kind of a quick turnaround. The U.S. Soccer will have their draw for the next round on Thursday morning. So it's going to require all 25 guys on our roster. And through the first 15 games of the MLS season, obviously we're hovering right around 500. It's not where we want to be. It's not the expectations or the standards that we've set for ourselves and that our fan base expects. So hopefully maybe we can use playing in this tournament as a way to kind of kickstart our season. Again, we've got a glut of home games. I think seven of the next 9 are at home, and just really kind of ride that dominant Rio Tinto Stadium advantage we've always had. But you can't look past Sounders too, like you mentioned. They come from a very good club. They're young, hungry, talented players, and you know, they're auditioning. They're showing our coaches and other MLS teams around the league, hey, if Seattle's not going to give me a shot because I'm stuck behind Clint Dempsey or Obafemi Martins or, you know, Ozzie Alonso, a perennial all-star like one of those guys, maybe your team could use me. And what better way to do that than to go into an MLS building and pull the upset?
No question. And this is really well-timed. You have a week of practice, and then this happens. And as you mentioned, you know, this team, the big team, is kind of mired in a, not an awful start, but not really where they want to be. And with the week off and then the U.S. Open Cup competition, it does give Cassar and his staff an opportunity really to kind of reshape and retool as you get ready for the, you know, for the middle, the hot summer push in the Western Conference. Is that what he's looking at it?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got Sporting Kansas City, who's kind of a developing rival of ours, coming in Sunday night on national TV on Fox Sports 1. Kansas City, you remember, beat us in a shootout in MLS Cup back in 2013.
Yep.
And that game came just 7 weeks after we lost the Open Cup final back in October of 2013 at Rio Tinto Stadium, where we had gone on a nice little run of four wins to get to that final. We won the coin flip to host. And so, you know, the Open Cup, it'll do a couple things. It'll give a guy like João Plata, who's coming back from a broken foot, a chance to maybe get 90 minutes more fit in preparation right for Sunday. It'll give, you know, Saborío, Jaime, Sandoval, Beckerman, Gil, Morales, all those guys a chance to kind of knock off a little rust, get back in the groove, and again, to stay in this tournament. If you keep winning, and who knows, next round, maybe we get an MLS team, maybe we get another minor league team, maybe we're home, maybe we're away, but to put together kind of a mini streak of five wins in this tournament, that gets you into next year's CONCACAF Champions League, that gets you a trophy, that gets you allocation money that you can use towards your salary cap. So it is kind of it's not an easy path, but it's the path of least resistance to all those things, because the other ways in are to win, you know, the 34-game regular season title or to win the MLS Cup playoffs, and there's a lot of difficulty in the depth and breadth of those paths. So the Open Cup, while it is spread out, and you know, we kick off tonight, the other 16 U.S.-based MLS teams step into the tournament tonight or tomorrow, and the final in this tournament is October 1st. So, you know, the deeper you go, the more you kind of have to juggle games and minutes and health and suspensions and all those things while we're simultaneously fighting for a playoff spot in our league schedule. And then we do participate in CONCACAF Champions League this fall. So we'll have those games mixed in August, September, and October. So it can get very congested, and that's where I think you know, we've always prided ourselves on having one of the deepest, if not the deepest, roster in MLS. We've already had 21, 22 guys start first 15 games this year. I think all but three guys on the roster have seen MLS minutes so far. And whether they're getting them in this tournament or in CONCACAF or, you know, those three-game MLS weeks where you got to rotate your squad, hopefully that trial by fire for some of the new guys or the young guys or a guy that's maybe trying to make his way in a slightly different position than what he's used to, hopefully that experimentation pays off down the road when it comes crunch time in the last 90 days of the season.
Right, right. And certainly for RSL fans, the more opportunity to see their guys on the pitch at Rio Tinto, the better. And I just want to ask you, you know, if we make too much of the national team's win in Germany, or if Beckerman didn't come back, you know, with a whole lot of, you know, extra energy, and if it really affected him and maybe therefore kind of has an effect of sort of carrying through the national team, and, you know, maybe a sense that, wow, we did this, we beat the Netherlands. And I know it doesn't really matter, but it kind of does, doesn't it?
Well, and Kyle was really good kind of explaining yesterday what it does mean. And he says, look, they're friendly games. There's nothing on the line in those games. And, you know, Holland, Germany, they're playing a mix of the guys that won the World Cup or finished third in the World Cup in Holland's case last year, along with new guys that they're moving into their program. But at the same time, if the U.S. is going to learn how to go toe-to-toe with those soccer superpowers, those world superpowers, if we're going to get the chance to beat them one day in a World Cup or in a big international competition, we got to learn how to do it. And you start, you take that first step by doing it in a friendly. And, you know, it'll give that group a lot of confidence as they move into the Gold Cup tournament, which is a national team tournament that's going to take place most of July this year. And, you know, the carrot for winning that is to to go play in Copa America in a couple years or the Confederations Cup before Russia 2018. So all those games, there's experiences to take out of them. And like Kyle said, to kind of go into the lion's den, even if they don't have it all on the line, and to show them that the United States is not somebody, something that they can take lightly, that sends a message that will be remembered down the road. It gives young players a chance. It gives Kyle a chance to prove that, hey, when I'm on the field, Michael Bradley is at his best, and then the U.S. can accomplish its goals. It's all those little things that pay off from something like that. And, we're going to see a lot of these international games this summer. And, some club teams, not RSL because we are in CONCACAF, but some club teams in this league will be playing a big money exhibition type friendlies against Manchester United or Arsenal or Tottenham or whoever the teams that are traveling.
Wow.
And again, you get out of those games kind of what you put into them. So for each individual player, each individual club, each individual coach, you can get something positive out of it.
That's tremendous. Tell me a little bit about Nick Raimondo. Here's a guy who, I remember way back in the day when, he almost got away. He kind of did get away, and then you reeled him back in, and now continues to get better. I know goalkeepers are a little different than other position players. They tend to get better. Their jobs aren't so much on the line as they get quote unquote older. But I mean his PK work and just being that steadying influence. I mean a national team member, and he's Real's keeper. I mean, to have him back there, you got to really feel like if you can get just make the playoffs and he can carry you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw that in 2009, him winning those PK shootouts in Chicago and then against LA up in Seattle in the Cup. Raimondo it's unbelievable the path that he's taken, because he came out early from UCLA. He was a starter at age, I think, 19 down in Miami when Jeff Kassar and Garth Lagerwey were the keepers down there. He gets traded to D.C. He wins an MLS Cup, blows out his knee when he's 24, and was kind of a throw-in in the Freddie Adu trade between 2006, 2007 here at RSL, which is just mind-boggling to think about right now. Scott Garlick retires 2 weeks before the season. We had given Raimondo to New York for a second-round draft pick. John Ellinger goes back to Bruce Arena, who was the coach in New York at the time with the Metro Stars, and said, okay, we need a keeper. Who are you going to give us? Can we give you your pick back? And Bruce Arena, they had Raimondo, they had John Conway, and then another foreign, I think it was a German keeper at the time. And Bruce said, whoever you guys want. And Ellinger said, well, we'll take Nick Raimondo back. And
he really said, whoever you want?
Yeah. And he's simply been the greatest goalkeeper over the last 9 seasons in Major League Soccer, even though he hasn't won the individual Goalkeeper of the Year award, which, could be a product of small market bias. RSL's not on national TV a lot, but I think it's also people expect so much from him that the standards for him to have what is considered an elite season is higher than the average keeper. But all he's done is shatter every record in the MLS record books in 40 or 50 fewer games than the guys that held the shutout record previously, those kinds of things. And he's gonna rewrite a lot of milestones here in the next couple years. And as you mentioned, Tom, goalkeepers can play a little deeper into their aging than the average field player. So when you look at Raimondo, and he's giving up on average a goal per game, he's second in the league in shutouts again, and he's been juggling U.S. national team duty with his RSL duty, and we're fortunate that we've got a backup to him in Jeff Atenella, who probably in a little bit of mourning today because he's a big Tampa Bay Lightning fan. But Jeff Atenella, we don't lose much when Raimondo's off playing in the Gold Cup or in a U.S. national team game, and we put Jeff Atenella in there. So I think that gives our team, we've had a couple big blowout losses, but you take those out of the mix, and we're only allowing roughly a goal per game. Now, unfortunately, our our lack of scoring right now is at an all-time low after 15 games. But if we can get João Plata, Javier Morales back healthy, pair them with Saborío and Gil and Sebastian Jaime and Devin Sandoval, and got to get Olmes García on track. Yep. And again, that's the opportunity we have with these Open Cup games mixed in with the league games. And maybe we can start getting a rhythm, and we know maybe we give up zero or one goal a game. All you got to do is score one or two, and we can go on a roll real quick. And the Western Conference is so tightly packed that you put together a streak of 3, 4, 5 wins in a month, and you're going to leapfrog a lot of teams.
No question. Out the door, I just want to ask you about the enduring benefit of the crowd at Rio Tinto. And you know, that's part and parcel of building a consistent winner is to make it fun for the fans to come back. You got to win enough so that they have good experiences on the home pitch. But what they do for the team and in their own right, what the creativity and the enthusiasm and the passion they bring, and how that really does, it really is another guy. It's a role that is maybe sometimes made too much of, but that home ice, you know, home court, home pitch, it does matter. And this team is as much as any in the league has really benefited, and it's a credit to the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Every team in this league has done well at home. It's hard to win on the road in certain climates or when you're crossing time zones and all that. It's hard on the players. But what these fans have given this club over the first decade, first at Rice Eccles and then at Rio Tinto Stadium, I mean, since the beginning of 2008, Tom, we've won 80% of our home games across all competitions. We've outscored opponents, I think, by 150 goals in our last 144 home games. So that's a pretty phenomenal margin, and the 12th man deserves almost all the credit, because when our players come out that tunnel and have 20,000 fans screaming, chanting, singing the Believe anthem that Brandon Steinecker, Orem's own, wrote, all those things have developed a culture here that is the envy of many, many other clubs and fan bases in the league. And yes, Seattle gets 40,000 fans a game at the Seahawks Stadium, and Portland has 40 years of history that they've done very well cultivating. But people don't like coming to altitude and having 20,000 and change against them. And on the flip side, as you mentioned, it gives Nick Raimondo, Kyle Beckerman, Javier Morales, every one of our guys just that extra boost. And in a year like this one, where we're seeing young players like Justin Glad and Jordan Allen and Sebastian Saucedo, who's from Park City, to see kind of our homegrown kids now have the chance to embrace that fan base and have them and know that they are getting thrown in the fire on the field, but they've got that support in the stands. It's something that's very, very special. And obviously we know we need to do our job and keep winning to keep that going. But to have on the verge of 16,000 season ticket holders come out to Sandy week in, week out, that's why we have the longest active playoff streak in the league at 7 seasons and got to try to make it 8 here this year.
Well, it's a credit to you guys also. You know, everybody up and down the organization has to claim some credit for that, because it takes everybody to make this happen, you know, to pull it off. And as we focus on tonight, at least hopefully there won't be the electrical show we had in the Valley last night, because
right.
You can't play much soccer when there's a lightning all over the place. But what's the projected number for tonight? And their tickets still, people can get tickets?
Yeah, plenty of tickets still available this game, partly with the short notice on these Open Cup games and with
tough.
Us being in CONCACAF this year. It's not included in the season ticket packages. So season ticket holders can get tickets to tonight's game for $10. General public can get tickets to tonight's game for just a few dollars more than that. There's probably 8,000 or 9,000 tickets still left for tonight, so you can head out
to some good ones. Yeah,
Stadium
good seats.
Box office. You can go online at RealSaltLake.com, get your tickets. It's going to be a great summer night. We'll have the U.S. Women's National Team World Cup game on in the America First Credit Union Pavilion.
That's great.
Just directly east of the stadium. That'll open at 6:45, so you can catch the second half of of Team USA before we kick off at 8 o'clock tonight. And it's, you know, the great thing, Tom, even if we only have 10 or 12,000 in the stands tonight, we know it'll be loud.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It'll be still a great atmosphere.
Absolutely.
So, and we're looking forward to just taking care of business, trying to progress through this tournament and accomplish one of many goals that we're playing for across several fronts.
No question. Well, well spoken, well said. Always great to have you on. It's a tour de force of information and passion. Appreciate Trey coming on. Thank you so much. Enjoy tonight.
Right.
It'll be better with you get the 3 points and you get off to the good start here in the U.S. Open Cup competition. But
yep. And it'll be a good springboard for Sunday evening at Rio Tinto as well. So hopefully,
absolutely.
If people can't make it out tonight, they can come out and hopefully we can be the first team to knock off Kansas City. They haven't lost since mid-April. So
yeah.
That's going to be a red-hot national TV matchup. And again, we've got a lot of games coming up in late June and July as well. So thanks for your support,
yep.
Tom. Love the show. And holler if you guys need anything at all.
Thanks. I like the way you're firing up the base. Tonight's in the pocket, firing up the base for Sunday. Good work.
Oh, got it.
All right, Trey. Take care.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Bye.
Trey Fitzgerald does a little bit or a lot of everything for Real Salt Lake.